Thank you. Choir for that special number. We've been singing a lot about heaven tonight. Thank you, Patty and Brother Tony, playing for us. I'd like to just make one more announcement. The Tuesday morning United prayer meeting will be at the Methodist Church this morning, this Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And now, we're very happy to call in Brother Eddie Short for the message.
Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. Deuteronomy, chapter 21. Thank you for coming tonight. And yet in saying that, I realize that it is no accident that you're here. I am of the conviction, because of the deep concern on the part of so many connected with this meeting, this island, and because of the prayer that has gone up for this meeting, and for those who would be here tonight, particularly those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I am of the conviction that it is no accident that you're here. Because God is going to use you tonight as we together do some investigative work concerning the death of Jesus Christ. Now, in thinking of this investigative work as to why this man Jesus was put to death, why he was hanged upon a tree when the Jewish mode of execution was stoning to death, some might say, well, Jesus was crucified because the Romans were in power. They were in power when the Jews stoned Stephen to death. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ hanged upon a cross? And to me, the investigative work is very interesting. And it's no accident that you're here tonight, because in going through this investigative work concerning this man Jesus being hanged on a tree, you will be brought to a decision in that death. Now, in order for this to do this, we must examine the law. Let's go back to Jewish law. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and come down to verse 18, please. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away or put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, dear people, this is the law. Now, in doing our investigative work concerning the crucifixion of this man Jesus, we must determine whether or not he was put to death according to the law. Did he have a fair trial? Are those who put him to death justified in doing so? Now, here is the law, And let us think about our Lord Jesus Christ being nailed to a tree. When we come to the New Testament, there are two Greek words that are rendered tree in our English translation. One word is the word dendron, D-E-N-R-O-N, dendron. You have heard it a number of times, and maybe you have used it sometimes. For example, our English word, rhododendron. And those of you who have been up to Carolina, the tree grows in other places. We have some in our backyard in North Carolina. Rhododendron. Rhododendron. But there is that word dendron. Rhododendron means rose tree. So the word dendron is used in the New Testament when speaking of a tree, but always of a living tree. Dendron, a living tree. Now there's another word that is used, X-U-L-O-N, Zulon. Now that word is used of a dead tree, or of anything made from a tree. I took some friends over to Brother Roddy Pender's place yesterday to see some of the woodworking that our brother is engaged in. So many wood pieces. Well, anything made of wood would be referred to as Zulon in the New Testament. For example, we read of Paul and Silas put in prison. They were put into stocks. Zulon. And the reader would know, all right, here is something that's made from a tree. Not a living tree. It's now something that is dead. It came from a living tree. And it is interesting when John speaks about the tree of life in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 22, and verse 2, he uses the word Zulon, a dead tree. And yet, he speaks of the tree of life. Jesus of Nazareth was nailed to a Zulon, a dead tree. But it is indeed the tree of life. Now, I want you to go with me over some scriptures tonight as we do this investigative work to try to determine why Jesus was hanged on a tree. Now, we have read in the law that he that is hanged is accursed of God. Now, as we do this investigative work, let us think of the law and let us ask some questions. Was this case concerning Jesus of Nazareth properly tried? Were the witnesses trustworthy witnesses? Were they reliable? Was this man's guilt? There were accusations brought against him that resulted in his death. Was his guilt indisputable? And if that is the case, then the crime is one of capital punishment. Here is a man worthy of death by the verdict of men. He is considered as one not worthy to live on this earth, and God endorses their decision. Any man who is worthy of death, he is to be put to death. And if it is to be manifested that he is cursed of God, then his body is to be put on a tree, hanged on a tree, but not from one day into another day. You see, as we examine scripture, we find that in connection with this law of a body being hanged upon a tree, That body was not to remain upon the tree from one day into another day. Now let us keep in mind, as we think of the law and think of the overall background concerning this death of Jesus, that the Jewish day began at sundown. That ended the one day and started another day. Now we go on the Western time. We speak of day and night. The Jews would have spoken of night and day, the evening and the morning for the first day and so on. And so it's from sundown to sundown. When we go to Exodus chapter 12 and read about the institution of the Passover, when a lamb was slain for a family, we read in our English translation that the lamb for every family was to be killed in the even. E-V-E-N, in the even. And in the original wording, it meant between the sundowns. Between the sundowns. The Lord Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room to observe the Passover meal, after which he instituted a new remembrance feast. Then he went out, went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was apprehended and on into the day he was hanged upon a tree. And then, you might remember, the order was given to go out and break the legs of those hanging on those trees. There were three that day. That was in fulfillment of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53 says that he, the Messiah, would be numbered among the transgressors. Matthew and Mark both tell us that Christ was crucified with two others, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, he was numbered with the transgressor. Jesus, according to prophecy, had to be crucified with two others. But those bodies on those trees, here again, according to Jewish law, had to come down before that sundown. And so the order was given to break the legs so they could not lift themselves there. It would have been a little foot rest from which they could lift themselves to take in more air, but once their legs were broken, they would not have been able to do that. Thus, death would have come about more quickly. So the order was given to break their legs because those bodies had to come down before sundown. And they broke the legs of the two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they came to him, he had already dismissed his spirit, and no bone of his body was broken, in fulfillment of prophecy. But now, as we do our investigative work, I want you to help me to come to some decision here as to why Jesus was crucified. The people said, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die. Well, according to their law, he should be stoned to death. But in fulfillment of prophecy, he had to be hanged upon a tree, and he had to be crucified. His hands and his feet had to be pierced. Psalm 22. Now, in our investigative work, did he have a fair trial? The law says, and he be to be put to death. Are the witnesses trustworthy? Is his guilt indisputable? Now, I want you to help me determine this tonight, because the law says, if the trial were not strictly according to the law, then the land would be defiled. Now you tell me, has the land been defiled for 2,000 years? The law has to be rightly administered. Now, in thinking of the law, let us examine the scriptures and let's think of some other cases. So, to better come to a decision concerning this man Jesus, would you turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. When the Jewish people went into the land, they dealt with a number of people. The Amorites were some of those people. Now, in two portions, Joshua chapter 8, and we'll turn in just a minute to Joshua chapter 10, we will read about Amorites being hanged on trees. Follow along. Joshua chapter 8. And verse 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Turn on over to chapter 10. Now we are reading about five Amorite kings. Verse 26, Joshua chapter 10. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Now let's think of that case. You might not be familiar with the Amorite kings being hanged. Did they have a fair trial? What were they guilty of? Well, time does not permit to prolong this any more than I'm going to, but they were guilty of murder, licentiousness, and orgies of deviltry. There were competent witnesses as to all of this. And when we go back to Genesis chapter 15, we find something very interesting here. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, here is God telling Abram what's going to happen in the future. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16. Well, let's go back to verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, Egypt, will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. That is, they're going to come out of Egypt. And note what we read now. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not full. Listen, dear friends. God gave to these Amorite people, and we're thinking particularly of their leaders, these Amorite kings, 450 years after he said that to Abram. He gave them 450 years to turn to him. And they would not. And when we come to Joshua chapter 10, here are five Amorite kings hanging on trees. He that is hanged is accursed of God. That's one case. Turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. David had many sons, one of whom was Absalom. Absalom killed his half-brother because that half-brother raped his sister. Absalom killed his half-brother. And then he went into exile. He was not dealt with according to the law. He went into exile. Later he came back and sought to overthrow his father, King David. Here in 2 Samuel 18, we're reading of that account, this Bible story that most of you, possibly all of you, can remember from your Sunday school days. Verse 9, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Now here is the son of David hanging in a tree. God said, he that is hanged is accursed of God. Well, what was the guilt in this case? With the Amorite kings, it was all of these things that we mentioned, murder, licentiousness, orgies of deviltry, rejection of God in the final analysis. Well, what about this case of Absalom? He was a rebellious son. David did not deal with him as he should. And David wept. You remember the words in verse 33. When he got the news that Absalom was dead, Joab had killed him while hanging in that tree, David cried. Oh, he wept. He lamented. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. You know, he didn't cry like that when that little boy died, born of Bathsheba. In fact, the servants were surprised that he stopped his mourning and cleaned himself up and went on with life. He said, the child can't come back to me. I'm going to be with the child. Where was he going? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How different perhaps. Oh, Absalom! My son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee. That is to say, oh my son Absalom, would to God you had come to justice and judgment. Would to God the law had been administered in your case. Would to God judgment had been executed. And would to God I had taken your place. What was Absalom's crime? Pride? Insurrection? That resulted in civil war and the killing of thousands. There's another case of one hanging in a tree. Let's go on over a little further to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. The Jewish people have a feast every year, the Feast of Purim, at which time they celebrate what we read in the book of Esther. There was Mordecai the Jew. There was Esther, it seems, his niece. The words that are used of family relationships could be used of brother, of father, sister, nephews, nieces. It seems that Esther was the niece of Mordecai. And here, this Jewish woman wound up being the queen to King Ahasuerus. There was, I'm going to say, a number two man there with Ahasuerus. His name was Haman. Can anyone tell me how he is described beyond that? Haman the... Well, I'll tell you. Haman the Agagite. Many believe that he is a descendant of Haggai or of Agag. Remember the story back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 when God told Saul through Samuel to utterly destroy all the Amalekites? Remember that? And he came back and Samuel said, did you obey God? He said, yes. You killed all the Amalekites, yes? All the cattle, yes? All the sheep, yes? Well, what is this lowing of the cattle that I'm hearing? And the bleeding of the sheep? Oh, I saved the best to sacrifice. He said, to obey God is better than the sacrifice. And he spared Agag, the king. And years later, there is a man on the scene by the name of Haman, the Agagite. And from the human standpoint, he came close to destroying the Jewish people. Well, he was so upset because this Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him every time he would go in and out of the palace. And he went home pouting one day, and his wife tried to console him, and I'm paraphrasing, and said, now, Haman, you're an important man. You shouldn't be carrying on like this. Why don't you go ahead and kill the man? I'm going to do it. And he built a gallows that went right up to about 75 feet high. A tree, if you please. And he couldn't wait until this certain day when all the Jewish people would be put to death. He wanted to go ahead and kill this Mordecai. You know the story. It so happened that King Ahasuerus had divine insomnia one night. Couldn't sleep. He called the scribes to read some of the records to him. And so they were reading some of the old newspapers. Oh yes, and here was the time your life was spared. You were saved. There were some men who wanted to kill you, and they came close to doing so, but someone saved your life. Who was the someone? Well, this Jew, Mordecai. What did we do for it? We didn't do anything for it. Well, we need to do something for it. Who's in my court? Here comes Haman to get permission to hang the man. Who's in my court? Haman. Have him come here. Haman, I want to honor someone. Now, his chest is expanding. He thinks it's him. I want to honor someone. And I want to do it right. I want to do it right. I mean, I really want to do it right. I want to honor someone very special. Do you have any suggestions? Oh, yes, he said. And this gives us some understanding of what was in the thinking of Haman, what he really wanted. Oh, he said, I would put your royal crown upon his head. I would put your royal robe upon him. And I would put him upon your best horse and have one of your subjects lead him through the street, crying, here is the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Very good. I want you to go get this Jew named Mordecai. And you put my crown on him and you lead him through the street. Feast of Purim. Well, look at Esther chapter 7. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. They hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for this Jew. Now, dear people, here is another case of a person hanging on a tree. Using the Greek word, if I may, upon the zoulon, if you please. What was his crime? He cared nothing for human life except his own. He plotted the death of a nation. Remember, God had said, I'm going to bless them that bless thee. I'm going to curse them that curse thee. He was guilty of pride, and here he is hanging on a tree. One more case before we come back to Jesus. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. If you were to read Leviticus, particularly chapters 5 and 6, or 5 through 7, you will find there a law concerning the trespass. When a Jew committed some trespass, for him to be forgiven, if his sin were not easily determined in monetary standard, then the priest would set the standard. Now, maybe in cases that it was easily determined. If we lived back in that day and we were Jews, and I stole something from you, and then I came under conviction, and I thought, now, I have stolen, I have committed a sin against my friend, I'm ultimately against God, I have trespassed, I need to be forgiven. Then the priest would say, well, what is the value of that? Well, it's $100. All right, you restore that. That wasn't it. Now you have to pay the added fifth, our translation says. That is a double tithe of it. Then a ram was to be offered for a sacrifice. So the priest, it was incumbent upon the priest when Judas came back, it was incumbent upon them to explain to Judas the law. You said you were wrong in what you did. All right, you need to return the 30 pieces of silver. You need to pay a double tithe of that, and you need to offer a ram for a sacrifice. Now, had they done that, then they would have had to let Jesus go. This they were not about to do. So Judas simply threw the 30 pieces of silver down and went and hanged himself. When we go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 18, you need not turn to it. We read there that he fell from that tree. He fell from that tree. How do we explain that? The only way that I can explain it, and I certainly will stand corrected, but the only way that I can explain it is, that body of Judas had to come down from that tree before sundown. And I think God saw to it that it came down, in keeping with the law. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Here is Peter saying to the rulers of the Jews, verse 29, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He was hanged on a tree. Why? Now, let us come to some decision in this matter as we do this investigative work. Why was he hanged upon a tree? Was this Jesus a wicked person like the Amorite kings? Was he guilty of all the sins that were brought against them? No, because the Word of God says he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and now made higher than the heavens. Was this Jesus a rebellious son like Absalom? No, he said, my meat is to do the will of him, his heavenly Father, who sent him. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Did the Lord Jesus covet a throne? He left the throne. And he humbled himself and came down to planet Earth and took upon himself human form. For what purpose? That he might go to the cross. having taken upon him the form of a servant, he was obedient unto death. And that, the death of a cross, or the death of a tree. He was not like that rebellious son, Absalom. Was he like that evil schemer, Haman the Agagite, with a desire to exterminate a race of people? No, he said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Was Jesus a betrayer of innocent blood like Judas? He came to shed his own blood, precious blood, pure blood, sinless blood, that the likes of you and me might be saved. But here is Peter and the others saying to these Jewish rulers, you treated him like an Amorite king. You treated him like Absalom, that rebellious son. You treated him like Haman, that evil schemer. Yes, you treated him like Judas, the betrayer of innocent blood. You slew him and hanged him on a tree. Well now, dear friends, what is the answer? Just a couple of more scriptures. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 13. This is what God said in giving the answer. This is what God said through the Apostle Paul. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, and here is the law, Deuteronomy 21, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Zulon. Look at 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now that's the answer. Why was he crucified? He was there for you and for me. He died on behalf of the world. And I know it's a well-worn phrase, but I still use. His death upon that tree is sufficient for all the world. But his death is efficient only to those who call upon him as Savior and receive him as Savior. He died upon that cross, that tree, to deal with sin, the sin of the world. And when people receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now raised from the dead, alive forevermore, when people receive him as Savior, then all that he accomplished in dealing with sin, when hanging upon that tree, is reckoned over to your account. And my unsaved friend, you've heard it so many times, but you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do, God will look upon you as having been crucified. Paul used the word, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How can I, such weakly creature, grasp the fact and trace each feature of the greatness of God's grace? Back across the years I wander to a mound so weird o'er yonder, there to sit and long to ponder as a cross is put in place. Something strangely grips my reason as I hear them shouting treason to the one on center tree. Surely he who there is dying, without once their charge denying, simply, silently defying, is the one who died for me. As I linger in my musing, cries around are all confusing, but the cross its message gives. As the heart in truth reveres him, something in his death endears him to the one by faith who fears him and by substitution lives. Let the world now quick observe it. No one here could e'er deserve it, but he died for you and me. To that cross he went in kindness mid men's wickedness and blindness, that he might both seek and find us for himself eternally. My friend, do you want to be saved? You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this one who died on that tree. I wonder if there is one, maybe more, in this auditorium who will say tonight, and it's between you and the Lord, but who will say tonight, I want to be saved. And I've heard of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, but tonight I want to receive this one who died upon that cross, who was buried, who was raised from the dead, who's alive. I want to receive him as my Savior. I want to be saved. Will you trust him? Will you receive him? We pray that you will. Brother Roddy, would you come and lead us in a couple of stanzas, just two stanzas of 222 in the Redemption Psalms. 222, and after these two stanzas, maybe our brother Frank Perry would dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Brother Eddie. Number 222, they nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me, through love the uncompare. Crucified and nailed upon the tree, that pierced his hands and feet and side for you, for me, he stands. Sing number 2.